The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 21st chapter. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the chosen one coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly, like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place, and to stand before the chosen one. This is the gospel of the Lord. Let's pray together. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God. Amen. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. When we read or watch the news about rapid global climate change and tear gas babies at borders, 85,000 children dead from preventable starvation in Yemen, when we read statistics about loneliness among young people, when we sit with survivors of sexual violence, when we hear about skyrocketing mental illness, it certainly seems like the time must be nigh to stand up and raise our heads. Right? I certainly hope redemption is drawing near. The temptation of this scripture, of course, is to control and to predict the whens and wheres and whys, and for many people, the whos of the second coming. Or to disregard it completely and move on to an easier text. I think both are a mistake. In our text today from the Gospel of Luke, there is certainly this emphasis on watchfulness. This is the theme of Advent. We wait and we watch. Just as you know that summer is near by the leaves sprouting from the fig tree, so you'll know when the time has come. Wait. Watch. In the 21st century, we might say, be present. But this isn't just an individual emphasis in this gospel. It's not just you waiting or you watching or you looking for those sprouts. In the Gospel of Luke, we're always being drawn into community. And so today we get an emphasis on the character of our Christian communities as well. As the gospel tells us that we are called to not get caught up in the excessive pleasures or worries of the day, to not give in to the balm of busyness that distracts us from the deep inner work that this season can really give birth to. We are called to reject on two poles, I think, both the despair of the hopeless and the temptation to simply look away because it's too much. I get all of this. And still, for me, there's something that's almost a force beyond myself that pulls me into this pole, right? This pole of despair, and then the idea that I can't handle it, so I have to look away. Maybe you know that feeling too. For me, the thing that gives it, where it takes form in its most ugliest way, is social media, particularly Facebook. It elevates my anxiety, my envy, my sloth. It probably helps me access each of the deadly sins before 7 a.m. It paralyzes me, right? And I'm drawn to it like catnip. Can anybody else relate? We all have our thing, the thing that draws us into the temptations of despair or avoidance. These two poles that aren't just bad for us, but they draw us out of community. And maybe for you it's social media. Maybe it's another platform, though. Maybe it's shopping, especially now, or food or drugs or alcohol. Humans throughout time, you are not alone. Humans have all had their thing. Listen to how the gospel speaks into that. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation or drunkenness and the worries of this life, so the day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. Okay, so humans have been doing this for centuries. What now, right? How do we ground ourselves as a Christian community in this moment and this time, bound by this countercultural, it's really countercultural in December, and this countercultural imperative to wait, to watch, to stay attuned to the things that are in front of us right now? How do we say no to these temptations of avoidance and despair so we can say yes to what might be being birthed in front of us? In our second lesson from today, Paul was writing to the Thessalonians, his first letter to the people of Thessalonica, this early Christian community who was eagerly awaiting the second coming of Christ. And he says a lot of things, but tucked into the middle of that is this admonition. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another. And then did you catch this? And for all. For one another and for all. Just as we abound in love for you. There is something about living a life in love, as cliche as that word perhaps has become for all of us, living a life in love, loving one another, loving all, that grounds Christian communities, that binds us together. So live a life in love. Stay focused on what's in front of you. Pay attention, but don't give in to despair. Look for the new leaves sprouting from the fig tree, and I will be there soon. And people of God, do it together, because without one another, it's impossible. There is so much to distract us from this simple admonition, and so much life to be found within it, in the paring down of our lives, in focusing on the essential things, in the waiting and the hoping and the longing for God's new day to arrive. And so the church gives us this gift of Advent, the beginning of our new year. I should have started by saying Happy New Year, because it's the beginning of our year together as a church. This season which invites us to sit poised in time, knowing that God is present in us here on earth, that Jesus has come, and that God's redemption of the world has not yet fully happened. We know, of course, there's so much suffering in this world, so much that has yet to be accomplished before God's new day can be known in your life, in the world. This text and our 24-hour news cycle certainly bears witness to that. But we also know that in Advent, we are called to imagine what God's love looks like, concretized on earth. Scripture gives us imagination around this, and we are given permission to let our dreams run wild without having to actualize any of it right now here. So the wolf will lie down with the lamb. We don't have to parse that out and get rational and logical and pragmatic about it. We sit with it. Just as Mary grew rounder and rounder and God took human form within her, so we wait for God and God's new day, the redemption of our world, and we let that vision ripen and grow in us. But we don't just sit there. We wait actively, drawn now into the present moment. We watch for glimmers of God's inbreaking light, glimpses and sometimes gulps of beauty and healing, joy and mercy, justice. We listen to children giggling as the first fat snowflakes fall. We celebrate a minute policy change at the county level that lets scores of homeowners keep their houses heated this winter. We remember the press of a friend or a lover's hand as we did something unbelievably hard. By bearing witness to the small, to the particular, we are given a window into the infinite love that God has for you, that God has for all. We watch for signs of God's kingdom amongst us, catching the vision and waiting for the time to hold our heads up, because we know not only that our redemption is drawing near, but that our redemption has already drawn near in Jesus. And so, when families fleeing persecution are tear gassed at our southern border, we can remind each other to stand up and raise our heads, for our redemption has already drawn near. And when we read reports of climate changing rapidly and we feel despair pressing in, we can remind each other to stand up and raise our heads, for our redemption has already drawn near in Christ. When we can no longer tolerate difference and find it easier to retreat to our corners of comfort, we can remind each other to stand up and raise our heads, for our redemption has already drawn near in Christ. In this Advent season, we are called to live deeply into the freedom we find in Christ, into the hope that stares down fear, into the light that shatters darkness. We are, you are, I am, called to dream dreams and cast visions. As we grow ripe with dreams of God's new day, we know that we will be called to give birth, to stand up and raise our heads so that we might see it in flesh in our world. But before that, we pause. Yes, even in the midst of frenetic holiday preparations and too many parties, and for the students among us, finals. Oh, the finals. We must pause, if only for a moment, from all that the world demands from us, so that in rest, our hope can have room to grow. As you go forth from this place, as you people of hope do every week, live as people of hope. Keep your eyes open for signs of God's love and God's justice, and recognize them as signs of God's new day. Christmas is coming, but first we wait, and we prepare with God to birth a new world. May it be so. Amen.
As we await the coming of Christ, we pray and hope for the church, the world, and all of creation. Abundant God, in this season, grow peace within us, free from the despair and frivolousness of this life. In that pause of peace, let us find faithfulness, joy, concern for others, and strength to stand up and raise our heads. God of knowledge, in a Christian community, we cherish the opportunity you give us to learn from each other. This week, we lift up the ministry of the internship committee as it supports our intern pastor, Ling Ching Chu, on her journey toward leadership in the church. Give them wisdom and honesty that matches the great time and dedication they have committed to this task, and thank you for this chance to grow stronger in faith together. God of our yearning, help us bring hope to communities damaged by violence or natural disaster, including wildfire, earthquake, and tsunami. In the 4th Precinct, on the southern border of the United States, with the political leaders who met in Argentina, and in every heart, raise up leaders grounded in your justice, mercy, and love. God of our yearning, bless the ministry of Pastor Amson Hammond and St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Jos, and the young women in Nigeria who still await release, including Lydia. We pray for those who serve in harm's way, including Zach, Miles, David, and Scott, and for those who eagerly await their return. God of our yearning, God of compassion, we remember our homebound members, Marge, Marjorie, and Eleanor. We seek comfort for all who grieve, and we ask for healing for all who seek physical and mental health, including Carol, Robert, Ryan, Bob, Nan, Ed, Melissa, Bob, Trish, Hannah, Madeline, Armando, Peter, Janet, Amalia, Pat, Barb, and Vern, Chuck, Margaret, those who struggle with chemical dependency and other addictions, and others we name now aloud or in our hearts. Confident that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, we bring to you these prayers and those unspoken in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.
Amen. At this time, we transition into welcoming our new members into the congregation. I invite those 11 new members to come up, and actually there are 9 at this service, 2 joined earlier at the other service. Those 9 to come forward and to make your space around here, and then sponsors of those folks to come up, and everyone else can be seated at this time. Come on up.